We all navigate a world that, well, it feels incredibly complex sometimes, doesn't it? From the small anxieties of just daily life to those bigger looming fears, it's easy to feel like you're standing alone against it all. But what if? What if there were these like powerful unseen forces actively working for you, guarding you, guiding your steps? Today we're taking a really fascinating deep dive. We're looking into the concept of angels, and we're drawing from a pretty rich collection of traditional biblical texts and ancient commentaries, sources that talk about their mission, their presence in human experience. Our goal here is to maybe uncover some, let's say, unconventional perspectives these sources offer on what angels do, insights that might even reshape how you view their role, even if you thought about this stuff before. And kind of guiding our whole exploration is that powerful line from Psalm 34.7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them."
Yeah, and what's really fascinating, I think, is how these sources paint such a detailed picture. It's not just what angels do, but, why it matters so deeply, how their work connects right into the human story. So we'll explore their roles from like fierce protection to really profound communication. We've got examples that bring these ancient texts vividly to life, showing this kind of constant active engagement with humanity.
That phrase constant engagement, that really paints a picture, doesn't it? These sources, they suggest it's the actual work of these celestial beings to draw close to people who are struggling, people who are tried, suffering, tempted. They're described as laboring, like untiringly for those for whom Christ, as these texts frame it, died. What does that tell us about how dedicated they are?
It points to an incredible commitment, really, unwavering. And their involvement isn't just, direct aid, although that's a huge part. Apparently, when individuals are led to give themselves to the Savior, angels don't just notice, they actually bear the news heavenward. And there's immense rejoicing among the whole heavenly host. The sources even point to Luke 15.7, saying there's more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 righteous folks who don't need to repent. That suggests a really deep, active, emotional investment in human choices, almost like a cosmic celebration when things go right.
Wow. So it's way beyond just being like a detached security detail. They're genuinely thrilled when we make positive steps. The sources even say that a report goes to heaven for every successful effort we make to dispel darkness, to spread knowledge of God's kingdom.
Okay.
And as that deed is recounted before the Father, joy thrills through all the heavenly hosts. It makes you wonder, are they literally watching everything we do, cheering us on in this spiritual journey?
That's certainly the picture these accounts describe,
Yeah.
yes. The principalities and powers of heaven, which refers to these sort of organized, governing, angelic beings, they're shown watching the warfare God's servants are fighting. Even when things look discouraging, new conquests being achieved, new honors won, as Christians rally around their Redeemer, it's really portrayed as this cosmic battle, and the heavenly angels are fully at the service of humble, believing people. It even says when we sing songs of praise here on earth, the choir above joins in. It's this truly collaborative thing between heaven and earth.
It's pretty remarkable when you think about it, this cooperation. And the sources really emphasize that every true child of God has this immense support system. We're talking invisible armies of light and power attending the meek, the lowly ones who believe and claim God's promises. Cherubim and seraphim, high-ranking angels often associated with God's throne, along with angels that excel in strength, standing at God's right hand. They're all described as ministering spirits, sent out to serve those who will inherit salvation. So this isn't just like one or two angels. It's a vast, organized, powerful force dedicated to human well-being.
And that force is described as intensely practical. I mean, look at the stories of direct intervention. Remember Elisha in that mountain city? His servant was terrified, right? Seeing the enemy army all around them. But Elisha prayed for his eyes to be open, and suddenly the servant saw the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding them. It's such a powerful image of this unseen defense, a spiritual reality just breaking through the physical. Or think about Peter, doomed to death in Herod's dungeon. These texts recount an angel just appearing, leading him past armed guards through massive doors, great iron gates.
Oh, that story always gets me. It's not just a feeling or a spiritual presence, like actual physical intervention against very real threats. And it happened again with Paul and his companions, didn't it? On that ship caught in the storm. Paul, a prisoner on his way to trial, spoke with incredible courage because an angel had stood by him that night, told him no one's life would be lost. And because of Paul, that whole shipload, heathen soldiers, sailors, everyone was preserved. They all escaped safely. That's a profound thought. The presence of one person through whom God could work saved everyone aboard.
Exactly. And what's striking is this consistent theme of preservation, protection. The sources tell us that from dangers, both seen and unseen, we've been preserved through the active intervention of angels, and we won't fully grasp the extent of this, apparently, until we see it all clearly in the light of eternity. It suggests so much of what we experience, or maybe more importantly, what we don't experience, the bad stuff that doesn't happen, is down to their unseen, ongoing work.
So it's like this constant, quiet safeguarding operating in the background. And it's not just for famous prophets or apostles in these old stories, right? The sources seem clear. A guardian angel is appointed to every follower of Christ. These heavenly watchers shield the righteous from the power of the wicked one, Satan, or the adversary, as these texts often call him. Even Satan himself, in the story of Job, is quoted as recognizing this protection. He asks, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?" I mean, that's a powerful acknowledgement of this angelic shield, even coming from the ultimate adversary.
And these angels, the ones appointed to minister to God's children, they always have direct access to his presence. That's a key point. This means they're constantly in communication, always receiving directives, always connected. Their access to the divine throne really underscores the importance of their mission and this direct, unhindered link between, well, heaven and humanity.
And it seems to go beyond just individual protection, too. These sources hint that angels get involved in much bigger things, like subtly influencing the councils of world rulers. Human eyes might have looked right at them, human ears might have heard their appeals, but human lips have also, apparently, opposed their suggestions and ridiculed their counsels. These texts portray angels as having this intimate grasp of human history, making them better able to plead the cause of the oppressed. They've even, it says, defeated purposes and stopped evils that would have really hindered God's work and caused immense suffering. That's like a whole hidden dimension to global affairs, isn't it? Like a cosmic chess match playing out behind what we see.
It really is. And this raises a fascinating question. If angels are actively influencing events on such a big scale, what impact do our actions, even seemingly small ones, have on their ability to work for us? The sources offer some pretty surprising insights here. For instance, there was this specific instruction given to the armies of ancient Israel. Everything in and around their tents had to be clean and orderly. Why? Well, lest the angel of the Lord passing through the camp should see their uncleanness and then couldn't go forward with their armies into battle. It highlights this unexpected connection between our physical environment and, well, divine presence or power.
That is a really surprising detail, isn't it? A direct link between physical order and spiritual power. And it's not just about historical armies, it seems. These sources suggest that preparing your home with clean hands and pure hearts actually invites the Lord's presence. Holy angels will attend you, apparently, and their light and presence will push back the darkness of evil angels. And what's more, it states that even unbelievers might feel a kind of holy atmosphere where these angels are present. So it's about cultivating an environment that actively welcomes them, maybe even without us fully realizing it. Makes you wonder, if these sources are right, what kind of angelic traffic jams I might be causing with my perpetually messy desk.
Right. It's a thought. And it also extends to our perception, our ability to see. The sources really emphasize that it's only by spiritual vision that we can truly discern heavenly things. The spiritual ear alone can hear the harmony of heavenly voices, as they put it. Like Elisha's servant, our eyes need to be open to really see those horses and chariots of fire that are encamped around us, holding back the hosts of darkness. It suggests it's not always this visible army, but maybe a felt presence or something spiritually discerned, something you can only perceive when your spiritual senses are tuned in. So as we've kind of explored in this deep dive, these sources really paint a picture of angels having these incredibly diverse and frankly crucial roles. They're shown as fierce protectors against unseen dangers, physical threats. They're rashant messengers who genuinely rejoice in human repentance. They act as subtle guides for individuals and even as active influencers in like global affairs. What really emerges is this vibrant depiction of constant active engagement between the heavenly realm and our world.
And this is where it gets really personal, I think. We've learned from these texts that a guardian angel is appointed to every follower of Christ, and that the whole family of heaven is depicted as being intensely interested in the family here below, with messengers from the very throne of God attending our steps day to day. These sources even suggest we won't fully get our heads around the extent of our preservation, how much we've been safeguarded by them, until we see it all in the light of eternity. It's like this hidden grace woven through our lives. And think about those really specific, intriguing details we touched on. That surprising requirement for cleanliness in the Israelite camp for the angel of the Lord to go into battle. It suggests a kind of active spiritual partnership, even related to our physical surroundings. Or how spiritual vision is needed to truly see the
horses and chariots of fire around us, implying their presence might be much more common than we realize if only we had the eyes to see, you know. And that profound idea that preparing your home with clean hands and pure hearts invites their presence, and that even unbelievers can sometimes sense a holy atmosphere where angels are present.
So what does all this mean for you listening right now? If, as these sources powerfully suggest, these invisible armies of light and power are constantly attending those who believe, if celestial beings really are encamped about you daily, silently influencing events, shielding you from unseen dangers, how might really taking that on board shift your perspective on challenges, your sense of security, even just your daily interactions? What might it actually mean to live with the conscious awareness of such an active, vigilant, unseen presence always at work on your behalf? Something to think about.
If you enjoyed this study and would like to learn more, please go to revelationwithdaniel.com and search for Angels Studies. You will find a growing list of this type of podcasts.